flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
I wouldn't dismiss anything other than maybe bigger coaching staff. Not sure that that's the answer. Our coaching staff has grown, and the size of staffs have continued to grow around the league. I don't think we're an outlier as far as that's concerned. On the analytics side, we have invested on that side. We've got more people in that department than we ever had, but. We look at opportunities and technology changes, and so there are opportunities to sort of give ourselves better resources on that front. Certainly look at it.
If you are a lawyer, like Art is actually, but you're doing a deposition, you're supposed to poke until it hurts. And the spot that seemed to hurt Art Rooney the second most in that media gathering the other day was the mere notion that they were cheap and not spending enough on an expanded coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple times he seemed perturbed by that, Doran, including in that answer where he's pretty much saying we're going to do and look into everything we can to improve the franchise, except, and I quote, consider anything but size of coaching staff, end quote. He also went back and forth with Brooke Pryor. The reporting is the Steelers have 18 coaches that go on the sideline during game days. This from Brian Batko the other day. He said, no, the number's actually 27. If he's counting 27 coaches on staff, that means all these other coaching staffs that have like 22 people, 24 people on the sideline can also count more people on their coaching staffs.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever way you spin it, the Steelers have one of, if not the smallest coaching staff in the NFL. Now that, in and of itself, ain't the biggest deal. I think there are massive issues that this organization has, and this might be a tier two issue. But then you see what Baltimore did yesterday, and you sent me this on Twitter last night. The Ravens, who were a 2-point conversion away from maybe playing in the AFC Championship game, they see we're close, but we're not close enough. They hire former NFL head coach and tremendous defensive coordinator Chuck Pagano as a defensive assistant who will be coaching the secondary. This is the same franchise that this year had a winning record, but the defense wasn't all that good. And so mid-season said, this isn't working. Let's add someone to the staff in Dean Pease, and then all of a sudden their defense became one of the best in the NFL. So, okay, Art, it might not be the number one issue, It might not be why you're losing, but going out and adding, augmenting this coaching staff could help you win, and you just have to look at your division rival to see that they view it that way. I said a lot. Now your turn.
Well, let's say that we, okay, Art, you have 27 people. Like, you have 27 staff members that you count as coaches and you don't need anymore. My question would be, in looking around the league and looking at specifically the situation that you just said, the Baltimore Ravens hiring Dean Pease and now Chuck Pagano, how many of those people of the 27 that you did say, Art, actually have a say?
Right.
And actually have a real voice? Because I'm damn well willing to guess that not many of them actually have a voice that actually gets through. Now, it's one thing to have multiple and quantity, but the quality is the biggest. But if you have quality and quantity, then you're actually hitting. When you have people that actually can give their input and actually be listened to, that's whenever it matters. So what the Ravens are doing is not just adding a bunch of extra coaches. They're actually adding real voices that will be listened to. How many voices outside of Mike Tomlin and maybe Arthur Smith and maybe Terrell Austin actually has a real voice whenever things need to get done? Now, if you hire a former head coach, if you hire a veteran guy that's been around a long time, that would show you that that person would garner people would listen to him.
That's exactly where I am. Get a name.
A name.
Get someone who commands respect. Get somebody the players are going to listen to. Get somebody you respect. Chuck Pagano is a respected coach. Had a lot of success in the NFL. And there's a couple of guys out there right now that I think the Steelers should be interested in. Mike McCarthy, for one. You told me this morning he turned down, reportedly, the Saints job.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Slowick, which, by the way, they've won a playoff game each of the last 2 years. No one thought they'd be any good last season. They win a playoff game, they fire their offensive coordinator. That's a franchise that has surpassed the Steelers, at least in terms of standard, but that's beside the point. That's two names just right there. Mike McCarthy and Bobby Slowick, who could come in, be offensive advisors, and help you. Tell me, make a compelling argument, Art, how that would hurt you. What the problem would be with doing something like that. That's my biggest issue with this. It's not our big problem. That's not why we're winning. Okay, it's not going to hurt you to bring in smart football people. Like, it might not help. Fair enough. I think it would. But it's not going to hurt you, so why not spare the expense?
I think the problem would be is one of these guys overstepping Mike Tomlin. And I don't think that Mike Tomlin wants that. And I think that Art listens to Mike Tomlin in those situations. Having a bigger voice than Mike Tomlin. I think Mike Tomlin is scared for that to happen. Now, the Baltimore Ravens and John Harbaugh could care less if a Chuck Pagano, who was a former head coach, could come in here and have a bigger voice or have a and have more people listen to him, I guess. It's about winning. I don't think Mike Tomlin wants that person that has almost the same or even more power to have a voice in that room that everybody might listen to them and not Mike Tomlin. I think that that might be an issue.
I used to disagree with that vehemently, but smart people like you and Doug have brought that up numerous times. And when smart people say things like that, who have been around the game for a long time, I tend to pay attention to it. And so I would agree that that is absolutely part of it. By the way, I just counted the Steelers staff as listed on their website. Wouldn't you figure if Art Rooney II said there were 27 coaches, then 27 would be listed on the website?
Mm-hmm.
It's 18.
18.
It's 18.
Now, is the training staff and the strength staff listed?
They have Phil Matsous, the head strength and conditioning coach, and then they have the assistant strength and conditioning coach, the assistant strength and conditioning coach, sports science coordinator, strength and conditioning coach, and senior conditioning coordinator, Gary Guimont, good guy, all listed on there.
So basically it's less than the number on the website, because those guys, I mean, they,
with all due respect,
I mean, football wise, that like, they're not adding,
right?
They're get back guys to get back from the sidelines. That's what the strength and conditioning staff does during game day. They're get back.
Yeah, it's worse than
it's worse.
18 actually sounds, yeah, because those are important jobs. I'm not going to sit here and say that they're not. You need your bodies right.
Yeah,
didn't do a good job this year. Got flamed by Mike Tomlin in his postseason press conference. But those guys have zero say in football.
Yep.
Like, Gary Guimont's not sitting there and saying, you know, we should run quarters coverage on third down and 12 because they like to do X, Y. Like, they ain't scheming.
So who's so whenever Art gets the number at 27, like, who's he?
It's a great question, because you said maybe you get to 27 if you include those people.
Right.
And now we have, and we're sitting here at 18.
So is there what? So 18, you know, what, nine? Is there nine training, like actual trainers that he's counting?
Right.
That's the other way I can.
Or is this the analytic people that he referenced,
right,
that are nameless grave faces? Offensively, they've got Tom Arth, Zach Azani, Eddie Faulkner, Pat Meyer, Alfredo Roberts, Isaac Williams, Mike Sullivan, Matt Baker, and Mateo Kambui. So that's who they have listed on offense. Defensively, in a segment I like to call I'm Reading, Grady Brown, Aaron Curry, Carl Dunbar, Denzel Martin, Anthony Midget, and Jason Brooks. So that's who they got.
Huh.
It's not the size of the staff. It's how you use it, Doran.
Yep.
But I happen to think it's a little column A and a little column B. And the Ravens are the organization that they most measure themselves against. We heard Jim Rooney's comments. The Steelers are above the mean, but they've also been in a division with a team that is also above the mean the last 25 years, thus making it harder for the Steelers. And that organization he's talking about is Baltimore. There's a lot of similarities between the division, between those two franchises. Like, there are every draft, the Ravens draft a guy, oh man, he would have been a good Steeler. Steelers draft a guy, oh man, he would have been a good Raven. They've kept their coaches for a long time. 2007 for Mike Tomlin, 2008 for Jim Harbaugh.
John.
Damn it. The difference between these two franchises is that when the going gets tough, John Harbaugh has actually evolved. They won their Super Bowl because they fired an offensive coordinator midstream. In, what was it, 2019, they were 4-5 with Joe Flacco. It wasn't going great. So then they put Lamar as the starter, benching a franchise icon, best quarterback in franchise history, and changed their entire offense on the fly. Then when that didn't work, they fired Greg Roman, who had helped, most of it's on Lamar, but who had helped Lamar win an MVP. Then this season, Zach Orr not cutting it, you bring in Dean Pease, and then you fall a couple of points short, and you hire Chuck Pagano. That's what they do.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Mike McDaniel, is that his name? Went and got hired by Seattle, their defensive coordinator.
McDonald.
Son of a, you know what? 0-2 on names so far in the first segment. We're only 14 minutes into the show. But their DC goes and gets hired. He's sought after. Those are the differences between the two franchises. Obviously, they have a franchise quarterback. The Steelers do not. But they also had the foresight with Joe Flacco to draft his heir apparent.
Yes.
Steelers didn't do that. So we have compared the Steelers, and I did a lot yesterday, to the Eagles and how they're coming up short in their own commonwealth. You look in the division, two teams based on continuity at the head coaching position, two kind of old school franchises, but one has got with the times more than the other, and we find them on top of the division more often than not. 412-928-9370. How does this make you feel, Pittsburgh? We'd love to hear from you. You can jump on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And how do you feel about Mike McCarthy or Bobby Slowick coming in here? Let's pull up that thread a little bit more. We'll do that coming up next. Also, bottom of the hour, the Pirates sign an all-star. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You've got mail.
Art Rooney II yesterday, or 2 days ago, excuse me, said that his inbox is full and then had a good chuckle about it because there's a ton of fan criticism. Well, guess what? You can leave us voice messages here on 93.7 The Fan. It's a simple thing to do. You go to your Odyssey app, where you find our chapters. It's the best way to listen, I think. And we love you however you consume our show, on YouTube or over the air. But you go on the Odyssey app, upper right-hand corner, you can leave a voice message.
You've got mail.
So I would like you to turn our voice messages into what we would all imagine Art Rooney II's inbox sounds like right now.
Oh, boy.
So oh, you no. just go to the Odyssey app, upper right-hand corner, and you can leave a voice message.
Oh, no.
If you have anything positive to say about the Steelers yesterday, Doran, my God, was a very negative show, and I think needed to be. But if you got something positive to say about the organization or Art Rooney II, you can do that too. But leave us a voice message.
You've got mail.
All right, let's talk about Mike McCarthy. So he's still out there. He turned the Saints job down. And you wonder if he's going to coach this year. You wonder if he wants to coach this year, if it was the Saints that he just didn't want any part of, or if it's the profession that he wants to take a step back from. But he's from here. He's a good offensive mind. He commands a lot of respect. And frankly, a better coach than Chuck Pagano, a more successful coach, won a Super Bowl as a head coach. Couldn't you make that similar move? Why wouldn't you? And maybe they have, but I doubt it. Why wouldn't you kick the tires and see if Mike McCarthy's interested in coming in kind of a Brian Flores role, but on the offensive side?
I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's not about the quantity, it's the quality, and it's having a voice that actually can be listened to. Like honestly, Mike McCarthy should be wearing a Steelers hat, a ball cap, and a pullover right now down in Mobile, Alabama, at the Senior Bowl, standing right next to Mike Tomlin. Like, he should be down there right next to Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith with Steelers stuff on right now.
Yes.
Right now. Honestly. Even if he's only a consultant for the offseason.
Like Mike Vrabel was for the Browns.
For the Browns.
I don't know that he was in and out of that building, and it didn't seem to help them, but I think that's more Browns incompetence than anything else. But he was around, but he wasn't necessarily a presence, but I'm sure it didn't hurt to have him involved.
And I think for Mike McCarthy's sake, like I feel like if he does want to be a head coach again, which I assume that he would, but not this year, like he needs to stay around the game. Like he needs to be a part of something. Like that's how that kind of goes. Like if you want to be a head coach, but you do want to take a year off, you just got fired, and you don't want to just sit around and watch football on your couch for a year, you kind of have to be involved in some way. And that's why you see guys like Vrabel, they attach themselves to certain
teams. Yeah. And sometimes dudes will do TV.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what Sean Payton did. But I don't know that that would scratch an itch for Mike McCarthy.
No.
I don't look at him and think, oh, that guy wants to be on TV.
No.
I think of him as more of a salt of the earth guy that is competitive and he's either coaching or he's not coaching. So I'd give him a call.
For sure.
Again, how does it hurt? It might not help. I think it would, but it doesn't hurt. And you're not going to have to pay out the nose. And let's say you did. You got the money. You're an NFL franchise. Why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah.
Or a Bobby Slowick. Bobby Slowick, on the opposite side, I don't know, is he a guy that needs to repair his image? Like, I know that they didn't take a step forward offensively this year. They were also ravaged by injuries.
Yes.
Their offensive line, particularly the interior, not very good. Stephon Diggs hurt. Multiple wide receivers hurt. And they still won a playoff game. I remember when they torched the Steelers 2 years ago, and Tomlin's defense, shockingly, thoroughly outcoached. And I remember walking out of that game or coming away from that game thinking, boy, the Steelers have Matt Canada and the Houston Texans have this young hotshot guy who came from the 49ers organization who is getting the absolute most out of this rookie quarterback. I would have both of those guys on speed dial
no
and
doubt.
Have called them multiple times by now.
No doubt. I think Bobby Sloak's too young to not have another opportunity. I think that he'll probably get like the offensive coordinator job in New Orleans, whoever that head coach will be. He'll have a job this year. But if he doesn't, I mean, even in this dead period where if you do think that he's going to get a job, give him a call. We're not saying that the Steelers haven't. Like they might have called McCarthy. They might have called Sloak already. But It's one thing to call and gauge interest. It's another thing to get somebody here. It's
yeah.
Like, we're the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you want to live up to that brand name, which is basically all you're living up to at this point, that should lure a guy like Mike McCarthy, who is from here, to come coach and help your team this year. Honestly.
You've seen Tommy Boy, yes?
Oh, yeah.
It's like you're selling crappy brake pads, but you still got the Callahan box.
Yep.
That's what the Steelers are right now. They're a brand. That's it. They're resting on their laurels, being that they haven't had a losing season since 2003. But, oh, they're the fabulous Pittsburgh Steelers. That's what they are. They're a brand that's not living up to expectations anymore. So why wouldn't you try something different? And when I say different, I mean augment the staff a little bit. Again, I think this is a tier two issue, but Baltimore doesn't think it's a tier two issue. Like, if the Steelers' defense was one of the worst in football for half a season, guess what? They'd be the worst defense in football the entire season because they wouldn't bring in a Dean Pease. They wouldn't bring in an advisor. They would change nothing. They would just hope to play better.
They would say, it would be like this. Mike Tomlin will come out in a press conference and be like, I'm going to start calling plays. I'm gonna be the defensive coordinator from here on out. That's the only move that they would probably make, and it still wouldn't work.
You say that maybe they'd have called these guys, McCarthy or Slowick. I did the same thing, because like, we don't 100% know, but they're long since past deserving getting any benefit of doubt. So I'm just going to say they haven't reached out,
because
they don't deserve our respect. They don't deserve to get the benefit of the doubt that they did the smart thing. Texter, didn't the NFL Network report McCarthy's taking a year off? Buddy.
That doesn't mean anything.
He's from here. Would you say get breakfast at Nadine's every day?
Go get Nadine's every day, and then just, you could walk from Nadine's to the Southside facility. And that could be, like, I mean, these guys can't stay away from football.
Come back to your roots.
Yes.
Hang out for a year. Summer's great in Pittsburgh.
You'll have no stress by being a consultant. Right. Or an advisor. Zero stress.
You're keeping your toes in the pool.
Yes.
You don't have to jump in. You don't got to do a cannonball. And then next year, maybe a right opportunity appears, and you go do that. It's not rocket science. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Two All-Stars signed yesterday. One by the Pirates. One by a division rival. Who's better? It is 6:36. Time to make the call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. We're going to have to get into this at some point during the show, Dorm. Say hello to the newest Pro Bowl quarterback, Russell Wilson. My God. Meanwhile, the Pirates signed an all-star. So things are looking up, right? Pirates have signed Adam Frazier, former Bucko, a Bucko again, 1 year, $1.525 million for a guy who had an OPS in the 500s last year.
Man.
This is not even a super utility player. He is just a utility player.
Who was he with last year? The Astros, maybe?
He stinks. He stinks. I hate to say that because he seems like a nice guy and he did some nice things here the first time around, but he stinks. And think about this. This is from Danny DeMillo, from Pittsburgh Baseball Now. Money spent by the Pirates on free agents during Ben Cherington's first full offseason was $16.2 million. Money spent by the Pirates on free agents this offseason, $10.7 million. The largest contract to Andrew McCutchen, 1 year, $5 million. So fast math tells you $5.7 million spent this offseason on players who weren't here last year.
Wow.
And if I may go further, also happening yesterday, the Reds signed a former All-Star, Austin Hayes. Now, he's not God's gift to baseball, but he was an All-Star in 2023. Had a great year in 2023. Last time Adam Frazier was an All-Star was 2021. That's also the last time he was above average at the dish. So Austin Hayes, an All-Star 2 years ago, has been an above average hitter his entire career, played primarily left field the last 2 years, and the only reason his season stunk last year, Austin Hayes, is because he had hamstring issues, calf issues, and oh yeah, by the by, missed September because he had kidney problems.
Oh.
So there are reasons to explain away why a good player had a bad year last year. Meanwhile, Adam Frazier, the last few years, has just been a bad player.
Mm-hmm.
They've spent $5.7 million on new players in an offseason where you wanted to build around Paul Skeens.
Yes.
It's unacceptable.
What's the point? What's the point of a Adam Frazier? Like, honestly, like we understand that, you know, we want them to spend some money and get quality players, but what is even the point of this? Like, I could see it's like, okay, you're adding a depth piece or doing, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the point is.
I don't either.
Nostalgia? Like, what is it?
It can't be nostalgia. They look at him as a guy who can be a bench player. I hope a bench player who can play multiple positions. Second base. He can play outfield.
You're hoping. But what are they looking at him as a starter?
Is he going to be your everyday right fielder is what you're asking? I hope to God not. I would rather it be Jack Sawinski. At least Jack Sawinski hit 26 homers a couple of years ago. Jack Sawinski was a borderline all-star a few years ago. I would rather try it with that guy, no offense, than Adam Frazier. And the Reds, like, that's a legitimate bounce-back candidate. That's a guy you take a flyer on, Austin Hayes. If the Pirates had signed Austin Hayes, no one's doing backflips in the streets. No one's planning a parade on the Boulevard of the Allies. But you could at least squint a little bit and say, okay, this guy was an all-star not last season, but the prior year, and has been good every other year of his career. He had kidney issues last year. He's probably not going to have kidney issues this year. They spent $5 million on him. Can you not outbid the Reds $6 million, $7 million to get a guy that could hit you 40 doubles? I mean, he hit 35 doubles 2 years ago. He hit 16 homers 2 years ago. Adam Frazier hasn't put up good numbers at the plate since 2021.
Wow.
Like, this is a bit player. The Reds took a flyer on somebody that could actually help them. Like, you could imagine a world where Austin Hayes is an above-average right fielder for the Pirates this year if they had spent $4.5 million extra. I would almost rather them have done nothing here than spend $1.525 million on a player who hasn't played good baseball in nearly half a decade.
Kalas, you're making a face back there. But do you not agree with Austin Hayes over Adam Frazier?
I've never seen Austin Hayes really as a right fielder either. I mean, he's fast.
I mean, he played left field for 2 years.
Well, left field and right field are definitely the same. You're right. Sorry.
They are the same.
Sorry.
They're the same. If you can, and actually, if you can play left field, you can go play 81 games at right field with the short porch at PNC Park.
Yeah, I'd rather take a flyer on a guy that played left field to play right field than throwing Henry Davis out there.
Texter, you're about to say Zach Frazier 100 times this season. LMAO. I would hope to sweet God I'm not going to have the chance to do that because he's not playing that much. You know,
I don't know.
Some people have theorized maybe this means that the back isn't all that good for Key Brian Hayes. And so you're going to play IKF at third base and maybe you move Nick Gonzalez at short and maybe Adam Frazier plays second base. You can't, Callis or anybody else, spin this positive in any way. This is a player who had an OPS in the 500s and hasn't been good at hitting baseballs since 2021. There are always players worth taking flyers on. There are always players worth kicking the tires on. Bounce back candidates. Like Rowdy Tellez didn't wind up panning out last year for the Pirates, and it wasn't a great idea at the time, but you could at least understand why they did it because 2 years ago he hit 30 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about half a decade ago where Adam Frazier was good. We got to get off the pyre. I'm getting too mad, man. Like,
ridiculous.
You have the best pitcher in all of baseball who's going to be the runaway favorite to win the Cy Young in the National League, who's going to be on the cover of this new baseball video game. He's going to, if he stays healthy, be in Cooperstown one day, and you spent $5.7 million on players who weren't on the roster last year.
And you can't even justify that they're going to spend it. Like, it's like, okay, they spent that right now, but there's nobody else really out there that they're going to actually spend money on.
No.
They're all gone.
Yes.
Gone.
Like, Austin Hayes to me was the
The last.
Yes. And even him, you're taking it's a swing and it's a guess. Like, maybe the kidney issue is a thing that's going to be something that he's dealing with. Or maybe he's just got a bad calf and hamstring and he's injury prone. I don't know. But I'd much rather take the chance on a guy like that than on somebody who we know what they are. And what they are is a guy who's never going to swing the bat and be an above average hitter again in Major League Baseball. Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Coming up next, Doran dissects a portion of Art Rooney's comments from 2 days ago. Doran was not here yesterday. He's got takes, wants to get him off his chest. We'll react to Art Rooney with Doran next. Oh, sweet Caroline. Massive win for Pitt last night in hoops. The Oakland Zoo was bumping, Doran. And Pitt ended the game on a 14-2 run. They had trailed North Carolina for a large portion of that second half, and then bang, they turned it on. Zach Austin with that slam.
Yep.
Hit a couple of threes. Pitt needed it.
Bad.
Bad. Wake Forest got demolished by Louisville last night. What a coaching job happening right now in Kentucky at Louisville. They got Wake Forest coming up next. And Wake Forest, despite being 15-5, 71st in the net rankings, which means if Pitt beats them on the road, when they beat them, it could be a quad one win. And then the next net rankings that come out, it might be a quad two win. Make all that make sense. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Doran going to dissect, Doran dissects, some of Art Rooney II's comments coming up here in a moment, but someone texted in at 412-928-9370 and said, I can't believe you guys are surprised by this Pirates offseason. Here's my take on that. I expected next to nothing. What they have done is less than next to nothing. $5.7 million spent on the payroll outside of the Kutch move, which doesn't count to me. We all knew he would come back, and we knew he'd cost $5 million. So $5.7 million on new players. They spent $10 on Aroldis Chapman last year.
Yeah, altogether, what they spend last year, $35 million?
I think it was $35 million, and if I'm going to take Kutch out of this, I'll take him out of that, and $30 million then. It would have been $30 million.
And they have five.
$5.7 million, yeah. Don't want to shortchange him there. $5.7 million. Which, last year, 30 wasn't enough. Now you've got a full season of Skeens, Jones, and Keller, who just had a baby named Quentin. Congratulations to him.
Congrats.
And his wife. If you had spent 30 this year, and I guess there's still time, but if you had spent 30 this year, they're projected to win 81 games, according to Zips on Fangraphs, which is the nerdiest sentence I've ever
uttered.
Is it as nerdy as this, though, Doran?
Duval.
Oh, my gosh. I had nightmares about that. I watched it so many times, he was in my nightmares.
Duval.
All right. Let's get into some of Art's comments. Said he learned nothing from the Kenny Pickett situation. That was my biggest takeaway. What'd you make of that?
I kind of like rose up. I was like, wait, you learned nothing? Like, or you just don't want to talk about it. Like, you didn't want to talk about it. Were you eluding the question? Were you trying to go and try to, you know, filibuster the question because you didn't want to talk about Kenny Pickett and how you guys messed up? Like, you obviously learned from your failures. Like, what did you learn from that situation? You had to have learned something. If you didn't, then that's an issue.
Yes.
That's a big issue. If you didn't learn from drafting a quarterback in the first round and it not panning out, and also pairing him with a coordinator that you didn't think would last. Like, that whole situation is in one thing. It's not just Kenny Pickett and drafting him. It was who you hired as an offensive coordinator. It was, you know, so many other things, you know, some of the weapons that you had around him. How did you not learn anything? How did you, unless he didn't want to expand on it.
Right.
I like, you have to have learned from that situation to not do it again, at least.
That was my biggest takeaway, because the 2022 draft was a really bad quarterback draft, and they took one out of desperation. 2025, that's where we are right now, is a really bad quarterback draft. The top two guys even wouldn't have gone in the top six quarterbacks last year, according to the Senior Bowl scouting director. So Cam Ward might not have gone ahead of Bo Nix last year. Maybe he would have, maybe he wouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
Tight.
Mm-hmm.
Shedeur Sanders wouldn't have gone ahead of the sixth quarterback last year, Bo Nix. Maybe. Maybe it's close. So it's not a good quarterback draft. If you've learned nothing from the Kenny Pickett situation, it's not that big of a leap to think then that they might take a guy at 21 in a weak quarterback class.
Yep.
So I'm hoping he just didn't want to talk about their failures.
Right.
I'm hoping that maybe it was because, for whatever reason, they all have a bug up their rear ends about Brooke Pryor and her prying questions. I'm hoping it's that and not what he actually said.
Yeah.
Because if it's what he actually said, then they could be doomed to see history repeat itself this upcoming draft.
Yeah, it's hard for me to believe that they didn't sit down after, you know, even this season, kind of assessing the quarterbacks this year and knowing what you did and got rid of the quarterbacks from last year and say, like, okay, like, this is what we can't do. This is what we've learned. This is how we move forward with the last 2 years of quarterbacks, or even 3 years, 4 years from whenever we drafted Kenny Pickett to right now. How can you not sit down with your staff and say, all right, this is where we're at. We don't have a quarterback on this roster. We have Skylar Thompson. This all is stemming from the end of Ben to us drafting Kenny Pickett. All that is jumbled into one bucket here. How do we not let this happen again and move forward from this? It's hard for me to believe for them not to learn anything from that whole situation.
Right. It's more than just we got the quote-unquote wrong player. It's the process was bad. You're right. The very last few years of Ben's career, up through not giving Mason a shot, signing Mitch Trubisky, not playing the right guys at the right time, not giving Kenny Pickett starters reps in training camp when you knew you might turn to him in, what was it, game three of the season? So they screwed up so much there. There's a ton to learn from the situation.
Man, honestly, I didn't mean to cut you off, but
please
honestly,
do.
If I'm one of these quarterbacks, like, you want to get drafted in the first round, but if my agent is listening to that, if I have a high draft grade in this round or in this year's draft, man, I wouldn't want to go to the Steelers. It's going to be like Kenny Pickett if they didn't learn anything. I'm going to end up just like Kenny Pickett. That's what I'm hearing. If I'm Jalen Milroe out there.
Jackson Dart. Will Howard.
Like, you're going to take the opportunity, of course, because you're going to get drafted in the first round. But the Steelers draft you, I'm going to be like, oh, man, I'm going to end up just like Kenny Pickett because they seemingly they didn't learn anything from that situation. So I'm going to be the same guy. And treat me the same.
Plus, you're looking at what happened with Justin Fields. Like, they don't know what the hell they're doing at all. And I understood Mike Tomlin's logic at the time. Hey, we're trying to win. We're 4-2. We're good. We're trying to get great. Like, I get that from Mike Tomlin. But if you're another quarterback coming in here, you're looking and saying, well, Justin Fields is pretty good. He got benched at 4-2.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't seem to know what they're doing at quarterback, no matter the circumstance.
Right.
Which then leads us directly into our next topic, which we'll get into at the top of the hour. Art said he would prefer to have one, Justin Fields or Russell Wilson. What if both guys say, we don't want to come back? Where the hell do you turn then?